If you don't have a blue outline and you raise your hand, I'll make sure Chuck gets you one. I'm going to encourage you to take some notes this morning. We're going to project a lot of Bible verses pretty quickly. I encourage you to write them down and look them up when you get home, all right? We want to give you 12 amazing resurrection affirmations. We're going to give you 13. I added a couple more. And thanks for being here this morning. Of all the places you could be, we're so thankful you took the time to be with us this morning. You know, today is a celebration of tradition. It seems they didn't do this years ago, but everywhere we go, they're wishing us Happy Easter. Do you notice that? There was a time when they wouldn't say that out loud. They're posting it. They're saying it. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with tradition. How many love Easter tradition? How many are going to go home and enjoy family time? What are you going to have? That besides the free ham we got at you know where. What are you going to do? I'm going to go home and we're going to color eggs. I'm not going to hide them because I'll forget where I put them, you know, and then you know how it is. I mean, I love the chocolate. I love the signs, the ham, the family. What else? I remember, and it's a day loaded with wonderful memories. I remember years ago, everything's years ago, we got up at an ungodly time in the morning and we went out to find the Gopher Bowl. That's in Texas. When Tim's up here high-flying sports, I don't know what he's talking. I don't know anything about that. But we went to the Gopher Bowl to hear Dr. Stan Toussaint preach a sunrise service. I really wanted to hear Christine Wurtz, and Christine Wurtz was singing that morning, and we just had a great time with our friends. And, you know, I'm sure we could spend a lot of time talking about some of the great things you have done over the years just to celebrate Easter. But you know what? On your outline, today, besides being a day of celebration of traditions, and by the way, traditions are wonderful. I hope you keep making good traditions. Today is also a celebration and a reaffirmation of conviction. Tradition's nice. Conviction is far more important. That's what we're singing about. And those hymns are wonderful. The conviction declarations you sang are great. Rock solid conviction, the basis of our salvation, the perspective for living based on the Word of God, held by the Apostolic Church for over 2,000 years, illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Christ the Lord is risen today. What did we sing? Alleluia. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to, like Peter, remind you, you all know what I'm going to talk about this morning. I'm going to remind you of 12 amazing resurrection affirmations, give you a little bit of scripture, and then I'm going to add one more at the end. Okay, there's a lot this morning. I'll try to keep going, and there's a lot more we can add to this, I'm sure. You can never run out. This is wonderful. But number one, bottom line affirmation for us. Here's the bottom line affirmation we celebrate this morning. And you know what we're going to say. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? He lives. He lives. Revelation chapter 1, of all places. Revelation, last book in the Bible, verse 17 and 18. John, the beloved apostle, man of God, leader of God, has been banished on an island of Patmos because of the word of God and because of his testimony. He's suffering. Things are not going well. They're miserable. And they're going to get worse for him. It seems the more God uses a person, the more they're called to suffer. And what happens in Revelation chapter 1, the resurrected, ascended, exalted Christ appears to him. And when John writes in John's gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ, rather about himself, John refers to himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. So when Jesus was on earth, John and Jesus were very, very close. But look at this. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, John writes, says this, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." John was scared to death. "But Jesus laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not, I am the first, I am the last, and I am the living one.'" Here it is. "I died, and behold, I am alive." How long? "Forevermore, I have the keys of death and of Hades." Christ is alive forever, with all power, with all authority. And that is enough to celebrate, is it? That and that enough is enough to celebrate. Second thing, second affirmation. Because Jesus lives, because Jesus is alive, we just sang this. Gaither, Bill Gaither is wonderful. Life counts. Life counts. Your life matters. What you do matters. in the great resurrection chapter in the New Testament. By the way, what is the great resurrection chapter in the New Testament? What is it? Oh, turn that off. I want you to know that. Next time I ask that question, you need to yell out. 1 Corinthians 15. What's the great resurrection chapter?
1 Corinthians 15.
Paul spends 58 verses giving an amazing apologetic for the fact of the resurrection, and you're going to read that during the message here and at the end as well. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, you have it on the screen, I have to find it in my Bible, verse 32, Paul says more or less, if there's no resurrection, just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and that's the end of it, right? What do I gain, verse 32, if humanly speaking, I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, if Christ is not raised, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Your life counts because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not have to be wasted. Your work for Christ will not be in vain. I appreciate what Dr. Marshall said. You know what? Just be faithful, get the word out, and let God deal with it. All right? It counts. You have two decisions you have to make. The first decision is the most important. You need to decide to trust Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. You know, everything we're singing about this morning and talking about this morning, it boils down to this. Because Christ died, we can offer a free gift. Christ offers the free gift for the taking. Not like my Easter ham that I had to gain 400 points, which is what, $400 for the free ham? Something doesn't sound right there, you know? Anyhow, salvation is absolutely free. All who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accept them by faith, will have everlasting life. It's free, no strings attached. But once you understand what Christ did for you, you want to follow him, you want to obey him, and that's discipleship. Life counts, life counts. Third affirmation, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, you are, if you're trusting him, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Luke, you know why? Because the Father was satisfied with the sacrificial death of the Son. Luke chapter, and this is all over the Bible, by the way, but Luke's gospel talks about it. Luke chapter 24, the resurrection section here. Luke 24, verse 45, it says, then Jesus open their minds, the disciples' minds, to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance, here it is, forgiveness of sins, should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when you trust him, you are forgiven. Past, present, future. And one of the mighty, powerful lessons of that is forgiven people must forgive other people. Forgiven people must and can forgive. Number four. How are we doing, Mike? Okay?
Good.
Tracking so far? Okay. He's probably wondering, what am I going to leave out here? Number four, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, fourth affirmation, your future is certain. Death is not the end, okay? Your future is certain. We're studying 2 Peter normally, but on Sunday mornings. But 1 Peter talks about our future in Christ. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, where Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through, here it is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, that's the certainty, that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, or reserved in heaven for you. I'm going to take my wife on a trip in a week or so. We're going to go out and see the Ark. You know the Ark? Ken Ham built an Ark about the size of the real Ark, I understand, so we're going to see that. And when I saw that trip coming up, I know she wants to really go, we made reservations. And it said, you know, first come, first serve, so we made sure we had reservations. And so we took a ride yesterday to see where we have to park to get on the bus, and I wasn't worried about anything at all because we have reservations. We got a letter back saying, you're in. You're in. You're going to get in the ark. It's going to be great. You know what? Because of Christ's resurrection, our future is certain. 2 Corinthians 4:14, Paul said, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. The great missionary Amy Carmichael wrote, the grave then is only temporary. I'm thankful, Doc, to be able to walk a little bit again. I mean, that's great. The bamboo's starting to grow, and I got to chop it down, so I'm great. Happy to get out there in the backyard. You don't know how happy I am. I got dirty the other day. I was so happy to be out in the yard. But my wife, she wants me to keep up working and exercising and walking and everything. So she said the other day, she said, we're going to take a walk to the cemetery. So that's nice. That's romantic. We're going to the cemetery. And so out of our neighborhood's the Great Salem Cemetery up there. And cemeteries are interesting. You know, there's no one age where you die. You know, there's young people there, buried there. There's old people there. And I was amazed at how some people decorate their tombstones, particularly during this time of the year. I mean, there were Easter baskets there. I looked, there was no chocolate there, but there's all kind of... What's that? I would check. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you believe in Christ, that your future is certain, that your home is in heaven, you won't let anybody waste a lot of time on your funeral or on your grave. I was wondering whether to say this or not, but you know, many years ago now, I sat with some of our people. They're with the Lord now, and I couldn't say anything, but they told me their funeral plans. And they said, you know, when we die, and they did die, we're going to have our cremated cat ashes added with our ashes, and we're going to be put on display. They mentioned the funeral home. And it's going to cost us about $50,000 to be put on display. And we're going to be there for, they told me how many years, and then they bury you out in the backwoods somewhere. So I'm thinking, you know what we could do with $50,000? Don't waste your money. I've done funerals since 1981. And sometimes I cringe at what people will do when someone dies. If you believe that your future is certain, you will not overdo it when it comes. You know what I'm saying? On the gravestone, on funerals. Don't do it. Invest your money in missions. Invest your money in the kingdom where it will really, really count. Number five. I'll get there. Better move on before I get in trouble here. Number five. Fifth resurrection affirmation. I love this one. Based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross, being raised from the dead, your real enemy is doomed. Your real enemy is doomed. Who's your real enemy? He's still alive and well on planet Earth. But let me find Hebrews here. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same things, that he through death, this is good, might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Your real enemy is doomed because of the resurrection. He does not need to be feared. Number six, you have power. You have power. You have resurrection power based on the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that, but I was texting a bunch of my pastor friends across the country this morning, early this morning, and one of my buddies, Mark Colton, is preaching down in North Carolina, and he texted Philippians 3, I'm going to change this on you, Tim, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, talking about resurrection power. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul, this is the passion of the great apostle Paul, he said, that I might know him, that's Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And Paul is the way we're going to know that, through the Spirit of God working in our lives. That's Ephesians 1 to talk about. Number seven, resurrection affirmation. Based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can pray and your prayers are effective. Your prayers are effective. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the resurrected Christ gave the Spirit of God to believers, and it says here, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You can pray. Sometimes I smile when I see some of the YouTube. I watch a lot of YouTubes to learn how to exercise better and all that kind of stuff. And why is it that I feel better after I watch a YouTube on exercising and never get to exercise? You like that, you know? Anyhow, but a couple of YouTubes, you know, you punch in one and all these come up. And a couple of YouTubes have been coming up lately about the power of prayer. And there's these guys on there, there are ladies and men who talk about how prayer is effective, prayer is good, prayer is very important, prayer will improve your life. But then they'll tell you, it doesn't matter who you pray to, it doesn't matter what you pray to, all that kind of stuff. Just you've seen that too. Just that's nonsense. That's nonsense. The only prayer that's effective is the one directed to the Father through the Son and the power of the Spirit of God based on the resurrection. All right, you know that. Number eight. You have, based on the resurrection, you have nothing to fear. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when Paul is trying to encourage Timothy, who is going to go through some very, very difficult times, he encouraged him by reminding him of the resurrection, of the ascended Christ. Number nine, ninth resurrection affirmation. We talked a little bit about this morning. Based on the resurrection, you have an urgent message if you're in Christ. If Christ is your Savior, you have an urgent message. Everybody has an urgent message. And that's why I encourage you to pick up Doctor's Letters, the template he wrote on the table for you. And you can change that if you like, and you can just make it your own. But there's a message to get out there. In Matthew chapter 28, it says here, verse 16 and following, this is after the resurrection. Right before the ascension, it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. They still weren't clear on what happened. And Jesus came and said to them, all power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the urgent message. Go make disciples. Go make disciples. Salvation, as we said before, is available freely to all who will trust Christ as Savior. Look and live. Disciple making is long, hard work, but that's the message we have. That's the message we have. Number 10 might sound redundant, but I'll give it to you anyhow. Based on the resurrection, your real home is in heaven, all right? Or ultimately the new heavens and the new earth, future, as 2 Peter chapter 2 will tell us. Paul puts it this way, in the midst of suffering. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, but our citizenship, our real home, is in heaven, all right? And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Easter Sunday, or Easter day, can be a tough day for those of us who lost loved ones, because sometimes we take time to remember family members, loved ones, friends that are not here anymore. But you know what? If they've trusted Christ as Savior, they're more alive than ever. In fact, I like to go to bed listening to messages sometime, and I was listening to a lecture by Dr. Stan Tusate last night. Dr. Tusate, years ago, I asked him to come to New Jersey and to do about five or six lectures for us, and one lecture was on an evaluation of John MacArthur's book, The Gospel According to Jesus. Very controversial book. So last night, I listened to half of Dr. Tusate's lecture. And Dr. Tusate, if you ever heard him, was a phenomenal Bible teacher. He was a great professor, great guy. And Dr. Tusate is with the Lord. But when I listened, it wasn't reel-to-reel, it was cassette this time. I've stepped it up. You know what a cassette is? Cassette tape? You know, I stepped it up, the cassettes. So Dr. Toussaint sounded great. His voice sounded powerful. And I thought to myself this morning, you know what? He still is. He's more alive than ever because of what Christ did for him, and we'll see him again. Number 11. Based on the resurrection, the Word of God tells us that if Christ is your Savior, you place your faith in Him, the Bible tells us very, very clearly, you're never alone. You are never alone. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the author here says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a great promise? So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. You're never alone. You're never alone. And number 12, resurrection affirmation. According to Romans chapter 8 that deals with the resurrection, it deals with the Spirit of God, you have genuine hope. And hope is not maybe something will be true. Hope is biblical confidence. Biblical confidence. Jesus is coming again, but listen to these verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. This is where Paul ends on a note of extreme victory. Paul writes, for I am sure that neither death nor life, hey, read this one with me, okay? Nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's our hope. That's our hope. And if you're taking notes on the back, I want to give you number 13. Number 13. Mike, when's the last time you were at a church where they give you 13 points? Oh, well. 13. Resurrection affirmation. Based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can enjoy God's grace. You can enjoy the abundant life. I said before, traditions are fun. They're great. You're going to go home, and many of you are going to have a great time. I hope you do. But you can celebrate even more because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is behind it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. Here's the Super Bowl verse for you. It says, speaking of what Jesus did, it says, Jesus died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sakes died and was raised again. Let's bow in prayer. Let's bow in prayer. Boy, there's more we could add. I trust you'll take a few of these and meditate over them, perhaps in the quietness of your afternoon or when you get a chance. But the most important message we want to give you this morning is that because Christ has been risen from the dead, salvation is offered to you freely. You don't have to die. You don't have to go into a crisis eternity. The gospel is available. It is to you. All those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who by faith trust Christ can enjoy eternity, forgiveness of sin, all the abundant life by simply appropriating Christ by faith. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. I'll be here at the door if you'd like to chat with us a little bit. I want to encourage you to make sure you know you're trusting Christ and Christ alone. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. And for all the promises you have given us and all the hope we have because of Christ, in Jesus' name, amen.